Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, January the 23rd, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR. We're live here this morning. By we, I mean I'll introduce our panel, and we'll decide later whether it's distinguished or not. Fred Jackson, good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning. Made it in through the heat wave.
Yeah, it was a balmy what when you came in?
It was over 32.
Yeah, 32 degrees, over freezing.
I meant very happy.
Yeah. Chris Woodward, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Only 56 more days until spring.
Oh, man. I can't wait. And Brother Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Well, good morning, Tim, from Kansas, where right now it's about 16 degrees outside.
16.
Yes, sir. It's still pretty chilly.
Hey, when are you going to start riding your bike again?
Oh.
Too early?
Oh, answer. Next time I go to Florida. I'll ride it when I go to Florida.
I got you.
Otherwise, I'm waiting for spring.
Now, if you go into North Florida, they're getting pounded with snow.
Was that, like 9 inches in Pensacola? Something.
Yeah, it was insane. It was record snows in for the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Alabama Gulf Coast got hit. The Mississippi and Louisiana and Texas Gulf Coast got hit. I saw. It was funny watching videos.
Uh-huh.
People down there. And I was happy to see the kids, you know, the natives there, not the transplants who were from up north, but the natives who had never really seen snow.
They had a blizzard warning in New Orleans. I mean, that had never happened before.
Yeah. Well, that's in the book of Revelation.
Yeah. That's somewhere. That's right. About chapter 16. Yeah. You know, the storms and
it's
the
called
hail and all this.
Snowmageddon.
I saw a guy snow skiing down Bourbon Street, and I'm pretty sure that alcohol was not involved.
Right.
It was for like a TV weather segment.
They were playing hockey on the streets there in the French Quarter.
Amazing.
Just crazy. But it was a once-in-a-lifetime event. They've had snow in that part of the country, but very little, you know, dustings and things like that. Nothing like this. But it was a, quote, perfect storm, as they say, with the water from the Gulf and the frigid temperatures from Canada. All right. A lot going on today. And you just told me what's happening now, Fred. Go ahead.
All the networks that we have, we're looking at right now in our studio, all the major networks are covering President Trump's speech live right now to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. You know, I just watched the dignitaries walking out on stage before President Trump started to speak. They had a worried look on their face. There's a new sheriff in town in Washington, D.C., and he's probably 180 degrees to Joe Biden. I think probably Donald Trump is going to be telling them, hey, listen, things like, America is back, and America number one is back. Mm-hmm. And so it's I'm anxious to see. We're not seeing what exactly he's saying right now, but he's a totally different player from what these guys in the World Economic Forum have been experiencing in Joe Biden.
Now, President Trump is speaking to the World Economic Forum from
D.C.
From D.C.
Yes.
So he's not there in person as presidents often are.
Yes.
And he probably will do that next year, but this time he decided to speak from Washington, D.C. Yeah, we don't know what he's saying exactly. It'll be interesting to see.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see. Never a dull moment.
No.
With Donald Trump, is there?
No.
All right. So we will keep an eye on that. Listen, speaking of President Trump and his new administration and the executive orders that are being issued on a daily basis by the dozens, if not sometimes, I guess, 100 or so. Well, I don't know exactly how many executive orders, but at least dozens. And one of them stood out in the last day or two as one that needs to we just need to stand up and cheer about. Yeah. And we're going to talk to our good friend Robert Gagnon, who's a visiting scholar at Westlake Biblical Seminary. He wrote a piece in the American Spectator, which I read, and he is applauding President Trump. And we're going to ask him why that is now. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, Robert, you're not easily impressed, are you?
Well,
I don't think you are, and I'm not. When you've been in our kind of work for a long time, you're used to hearing politicians say things that you know that they're just pandering to you, maybe for your vote or your approval. But following through with said promises, oftentimes we know are doesn't happen. But in the case of President Trump, with this latest executive order having to do with gender, you applauded it. Tell us, give us what this is about.
Well, Trump had indicated before he became president that he was not in favor of what he called trans insanity. And the whole gender ideology that entails children to be indoctrinated in this and to be chemically castrated and to have males and female sports and so forth. So he said he would do something about it on the first day, and he did. He signed an executive order called Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the federal government. And in the process, he defined in the executive order what a male and female are according to biological reproductive capability, and therefore on the basis of an objective definition of male and female rather than the subjective, whatever I am, view of gender identity ideology. And so that is now federal law. That's how male and female are defined, on the basis of the fact that men have sperm and women have eggs. And that's a standard way of defining the difference between male and female through all species. So it's now being applied, as it should have been from the beginning, to humans, male and female. And the consequence of that is rejecting the placement of males, biological males who identify as women, in female areas. So that would include school. You cannot use in schools. It will not any longer be rescinded. Biden's executive order that had previously allowed biological males who identified as female to enter female restrooms and locker rooms. And that's no longer allowed by the federal government. So if you're receiving money from the federal government, you've got a problem if you're trying to promote gender ideology.
So this was what was the name of this executive order? Do you know?
Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. Those are two interesting facets of the executive order, the biological truth element based on an objective definition of sex. But also a major part of the executive order was to justify it on the basis of defending women, right? Because women have been put in danger by allowing males in their restrooms and in their sports. Their privacy has been threatened. And so what it does to women, you know, it's a significant element of the executive order. It's saying we're here to defend women. And the only way to do that, all the laws that have been put into place, protecting women, giving women their own sports, et cetera, all of those are undermined by changing a definition of female into a subjective category. So those two things go hand in hand. You have to have a biological truth, and the biological truth will defend women from gender ideology extremism.
All right, we're talking to Robert Gagnon. He wrote an excellent piece in the American Spectator, which we have a link to. Well, you can go there, American Spectator, I guess. But we put it up on our Today's Issues Facebook page if you want to go there and make it easy for you. our Today's Issues Facebook page. It's an excellent piece by our guest right now, commending President Trump for his executive order titled Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. This is outstanding. Congratulations to President Trump, and a thank you to President Trump for doing this. This left-wing gender confusion insanity is that's been forced on the country the last 4 years in particular is stopping, at least as it comes down from the federal government. You remember Biden issued a executive order saying, telling the Department of, I think it was Health and Human Services, that that the federal government will withhold money from any state that doesn't let boys play girls sports. Now, that isn't how they would say it, but that's what it was. Or let girls, let boys and girls showering area or changing rooms. Just the whole that crazy stuff that put girls at danger and at risk. And Biden was forcing that on the states. And if they didn't comply, then he was going to withhold federal dollars. That's how oppressive this was. Trump has reversed that completely and totally. Again, congratulations to him, and thank you to him for doing that and following through with this promise. Fred, did you want to?
Yeah, Robert, what a lot of people couldn't understand is that the Democratic Party has sold itself to the American public as being the party that defends women's rights. This is what this policy of Biden and his administration was 180 degrees to defending women's rights. I'd love to know who in the Democratic Party said, hey, we think it's a good idea if we now kind of attack women's rights and allow men who pretend they're girls to go into ladies' washrooms and change rooms and all of the rest. I mean, this was political suicide, and I think the election in November proved that.
Exactly. It's just unbelievable. We've reached a state in this country where that sounds logical, people. See, let's allow males who identify as females in female restrooms and sports. What could go wrong? It's stunning. Absolutely stunning. Yeah. That people can't see the danger that arises from doing so. And I think finally we've reached a point in the country where the LGBTQ agenda has overplayed its hand. And there are enough, not a supermajority. It's still astounding we don't have more people opposed to what the Democrats are promoting, but at least a sufficient number to elect somebody like Trump and to get this executive order in place. So that's a very good sign for the country.
Ray? Dr. Gagnon, there's a coming conflict, I suppose, as this executive order filters its way out through the government. What's going to happen in states, blue states, like New York, like Illinois, like California, whose governors are not just opposed, but vehemently opposed to what President Trump has done? Is this an issue that's going to eventually end up before the Supreme Court?
Undoubtedly. Yeah, it's going to run through the courts. They're going to do what they can to stay the executive order and then to eliminate it through the courts. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Of course, we do have the Bostock decision, the unfortunate Bostock decision with regard to Title VII and employment that protects gender identity. So to some extent, there's going to be some collision with that. We'll see if people like Gorsuch, who wrote that majority decision for Bostock, whether he's going to regain some sanity and realize that we cannot have males in female restrooms, locker rooms, and sports. Hopefully, the court will recognize that. But there'll be a battle ahead. There's no question about it. At least for the time being, though, the federal government is not going to be going after us for refusing to recognize so-called trans women as women or so-called trans men as men in schools, in workplaces, and in public accommodations. The question is how aggressive the Biden administration will be in going after schools, for example, that continue to allow boys in female restrooms, locker rooms, and sports? That's the question. How far are they willing to go on this?
All right. Listen, Robert, thank you so much for being on with us this morning. Excellent piece there you wrote on this Trump executive order, protecting girls and young ladies across America. And we appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks. God's blessings to you all.
Okay. That's Robert Gagnon. He is the he is a visiting scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary and a frequent guest here of ours on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, what's or Chris, who's next?
Well, let's do this. It'll keep us going with some Trump stuff. But Trump did a very long interview last night with Sean Hannity on Fox News Channel, specifically on the Hannity television program. And he talked about a number of topics. I've got a lot of sound bites. But one of the things that we've not heard from him so much on was his idea about disaster response. That weather's been a big story this year or this week. In the along the Gulf Coast states, specifically areas near the beach, you've got California wildfires, North Carolina hurricane response, that's still going. By the way, Trump did say he is going to go to North Carolina and visit people in California to deal with that. But in this soundbite here, Trump suggested that we might actually do away with FEMA and give federal dollars to states to let them deal with disaster response, his idea being that states would be better at dealing with this kind of stuff and do it quickly. I've got a soundbite here, clip three.
I'd rather see the states take care of their own problems. If they have a tornado someplace and if they let that state, Oklahoma is very competent. I love Oklahoma. But you know what? If they get hit with a tornado or something, let Oklahoma fix it. You don't need. And then the federal government can help them out with the money.
Now, I think it's good to play the soundbite and tell people to actually listen to and read what the president had to say, because I've already seen some news outlets cover this today with headlines saying, and I'm paraphrasing, Trump suggests getting rid of abolishing FEMA and just letting states deal with their own disasters, which is not exactly the situation.
No, I'm giving states the right to take charge of recovery. This doesn't mean that it's not going to be federal dollars going to these states that face disasters, whether it's hurricanes or flooding, whatever the case may be. But it's just, Trump is a states' rights individual.
Yeah.
We saw that with abortion. So he believes in giving the states the right, because they are there, they are on the scene, rather than have some federal bureaucrat from Washington, D.C. come in and take charge of recovery. We saw what happened in North Carolina, what FEMA did there.
FEMA was being weaponized.
Exactly.
I mean, Ray, as crazy as that sounds, you were going like FEMA being weaponized. Do you remember the text that were exposed? Go ahead, Ray.
Well, the text that they clearly said that the FEMA workers were not to help in homes, subdivisions, areas where there were Trump supporters, Trump flags, and so on. As that, if that's not weaponization of the federal government, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we're not making this up, folks. I mean, this was in the news.
Oh yeah, I'll post some links.
We have the lady's name who did that. She was a high level executive there on the ground with FEMA, and but anyway, listen. This is to borrow from Bob Dylan, the times they are changing.
Yeah.
Whatever metaphor you want to use, a new sheriff in town, new head coach, whatever you want to say for the team. But President Trump he's starting out with a bang in his administration on several different levels, the things that he can do in terms of an executive order. Listen, I'm not a big fan of executive orders myself. Generally speaking, but what happened here is the Democrats started this. Remember President Obama? I mentioned this yesterday. He got frustrated because he wasn't getting anything done legislatively, working with the Congress, and so he said, "You know what? I got a phone and a pen." Basically, he was saying, "I'll just do it myself. I'll just start issuing executive orders to do things." And I can understand any president is frustrated when their agenda is not getting passed. But that's the way our system works. You know what I'm saying? We have checks and balances in how our system operates. And President Obama got frustrated with that, and he started just issuing executive orders. Well, when that happened, then Trump followed him,
mm-hmm.
right? Right? Yep. I got that right. So Trump just said, okay, you can do that. Two can play that game, and I'll just reverse everything you did, and I'll do some more. And then Biden came in, and he did the same, and now Trump's doing the same. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is going to go on, and whoever, the Republican or Democrat, wins, they're going to reverse what the last guy did. And in fact, ironically, it cost Biden, one of the main issues that cut Ray, that cost Biden the election, was his reversal of everything Trump had done to secure our border.
As much as anything else, the American people rose up and said, we want secure borders.
Right.
And they understand that Joe Biden, he didn't just reverse Trump.
Right.
He went way in the other direction, letting, 10 million?
Yeah.
10 million
or more.
Or more came in during that 1 4-year period, and Americans said, enough is enough is enough. So, you know, Tim, just for the record, I agree with you. I think it's better. Overall, it's better overall when things go through the Congress, right?
Right, right.
When you have the debate in the House and you have the debate in the Senate,
right,
and it gets aired out publicly, that's simply not the age in which we are living. And Obama is the one who started it.
He did.
Trump followed it. Biden put it on steroids.
Yep, he did.
Yep. And now we're into day 4 of the second Trump administration. And more has happened in 4 days than in the first week of any president in my lifetime. We're all looking around to go, okay, it's what? It's 11, 12 o'clock. Let's see what's happened in the last 30 minutes out of the White House.
Well, also, Fred, President Trump has done more press interviews and statements and talking than Biden did in 4 years.
Oh, yeah. When he was doing executive orders, signing these executive orders the other night in the Oval Office, he had reporters all around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as he was signing them, they were asking questions.
He was talking to them while they were asking him questions.
Yeah, he's not afraid of the media. That's the bottom line.
No, yes. Well, and you know, the Biden, they tried to cover for him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he'd walk away.
Yeah, put you know, to tell him what to say and when to get off the stage.
And what reporter to talk to.
Right.
Right.
I have a list that I have to follow.
They told me to call on you.
Yes.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to take a short time out. We'll take our break a little early here. By the way, President Trump is speaking live to the what's known as the World Economic Forum. They are convening. I'm not sure where they are. Davos?
Davos, Switzerland.
Davos, Switzerland. But Trump is speaking to them from the U.S. And I'm not sure what all he is saying, but I'm sure it's not going to not going to fit in with their agenda.
No.
Maybe some of it will, but I doubt it. I doubt much of it will because President Trump is probably lecturing them on how America's back. Is that what he's going to do, Fred?
Yeah, he just told them, we're working on being a superpower.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Live radio show right here. We'll be on the air till 11:30 Central Time. And then we'll continue with our programming here on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. We're in our studios in Tupelo. And in Kansas City is our colleague and good friend, Ray Pritchard. We, again, thank you for listening. Well, in Indiana is our good friend, Dan Steiner, founder of Preborn. And you've been hearing about that for the last couple of weeks here on America. Well, you hear about it all the time on American Family Radio. But we've been asking you to help us meet our goal of 4,500 ultrasound scans to save babies all over America. And Dan Steiner has some good news for us. Dan, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Tim. Thanks for letting us on, and especially thanks for your partnership over the years that this most recent run that we did with all of your programs and the men that I spoke to and the women, they're just 100% on board and love saving babies. So I would say that if you're listening to AFR, you're listening to the most pro-life radio broadcasting station in the world, because they put their money where their mouth is. And this year, our campaign, the goal was 4,500, but we blew the roof off of that, frankly, at over 5,100 scans.
All right.
Three scans written for women. Yeah, praise God.
That deserves a clap, an ovation there.
You guys kicked it, man. You did great.
Yeah, you could say kick tail on Christian radio. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't complete the phrase, right?
You don't want to go any further than that, but that's okay. So our goal was 4,500 babies. To ultrasounds, and our listeners have paid for 5,200. So
all right.
We thank you, everyone who's participated, and a lot of babies will be saved, and a lot of mothers will be ministered to, and a lot of them will come to accept Jesus Christ, because this is a explicitly Christian outreach that Dan and Preborn conduct. So praise God, and we're very happy about this, and I know you are too, and I wanted to have you on to talk about it. So, Dan, real quick, if people, maybe they say, what are you talking about? I didn't make a donation. Just give folks, tell folks how they can do that and what it pays for.
Yeah, so this not only pays for a free ultrasound scan for a woman that comes into one of our clinics, find her on the internet, refer her to our clinics, get her in front of the ultrasound screen, sees her baby for the first time, baby picture of the first and best kind, moving like a little astronaut inside the amniotic fluid. 80% of the time, usually, she'll choose life when she sees that. And then, in addition to that ultrasound scan, that $28 provides counseling all the way into the delivery room if needed, and then 2 years' worth of maternity clothes and cribs and car seats and diapers, a lot of diapers, and whatever she needs for 2 years. Because we love the woman and love the baby and put our money where our mouth is, and AFR does that because you guys have been partners with us, and it's a big megaphone that you've given us over the years, and some of the programs on there. So it's just wonderful your listeners have done over the years.
Yes, God bless our listeners for responding. $28 buys one ultrasound, $56 buys two. Or if you want to make a donation larger than that, certainly you can do that as well. Dan, how can people, if they didn't get a chance to give and they want to, how can they do that?
Yeah, I think it may still be up at AFR.net. They can certainly also go to preborn.com. Yes. It's tax deductible, and 100% of that $28 or $56 for two or $140 for five scans, 100% of that goes to our clinics, all donor-designated money. And in response to that, we will send you for every donation, we'll send you a picture of a baby. It'll be an ultrasound picture because the baby isn't born yet, but it was created and very, very much a baby inside the mother's womb, and the story about that baby and the circumstances that the mother was in. And a lot of these stories are dramatic turnarounds when she sees her baby and her heart, you know, she's being pressured most of the time, Tim. She doesn't want to abort. She's being pushed. And this steals her soul to be able to galvanize her determination to like I'm a mother right now. I'm going to do something about that.
Yeah. AFR.net, we still have it up there, AFR.net. Go there and you can see how to give to preborn. Thank you, Dan. God bless you, my friend.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay. Take care. That's Dan Steiner joining us from the Hoosier State there. He's the founder of Preborn. God gave him this idea, and he ran with it. And the Lord has blessed the ministry of Preborn. We're proud at American Family Radio to partner with him on this. And it's appropriate, too, because it's Pro-Life Month.
Yes.
It's our Sanctity of Human Life Month here in the U.S. And so January is a great month to do this. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ray, Fred, and Chris. Chris, what's the next story?
Well, I want to direct our listeners and viewers to our Today's Issues Facebook page because earlier today I posted a new action alert from American Family Association asking President Donald Trump to pardon various pro-lifers that were arrested and convicted of violating something known as the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances or FACE Act. This is a 1990s-era policy signed into law by President Bill Clinton, and it was designed to protect access to abortion clinics. But ministries and legislators have long argued that Democrat administrations have used this to weaponize the DOJ and go after people for doing something as simple as praying in front of or standing outside an abortion clinic and peacefully protesting abortion. There are about 24 pro-lifers that have been arrested and convicted of violating the FACE Act in recent years. And one of the people out there asking President Trump to pardon these pro-lifers is Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who was the Attorney General of Missouri prior to becoming a U.S. Senator. Mr. Hawley, or Senator Hawley, was on Washington Watch yesterday, and he told Tony Perkins, host of the show, that these pro-lifers did nothing wrong. Clip 4.
I'm hopeful that the president will act on this immediately. I mean, these are people who are unjustly in prison, Tony. It's not even that they're folks who made a mistake, but at least it was nonviolent. That's not it. These are people who I believe committed no crime at all. The First Amendment protects your right to pray in a public space. It protects your right to demonstrate in a public space. And these are people who were singled out by the last administration, the most anti-Christian administration in our country's history.
Now, he went on to say that the Biden administration did exactly nothing to go after pro-abortion people that bombed churches, vandalized pregnancy resource centers, things of that sort. So Senator Josh Hawley, still one of the people out there pushing Trump to pardon these people. And then, as I mentioned at the beginning of the discussion here, AFA itself is asking President Trump to pardon these people, Tim.
You know, one of the people who was praying outside an abortion clinic, who has been given a 2-year prison sentence for praying outside of an abortion clinic, is a 75-year-old woman. Her name is Paula Harlow. Sentenced to 2 years by a federal judge simply for praying outside an abortion clinic.
Yeah, listen, Ray, if you're going to... It's just what Biden did with the and previous Democrat administration, but Biden did with the against the these pro-lifers was unconscionable. Go ahead.
You know, look, the Biden administration was the most radical pro-abortion administration in American history, going beyond Barack Obama, and that's really saying something. They loved abortion. They hated the pro-life movement. And, you know, if we were talking, Tim, about, you remember there was that period some years ago, the clinic bombings and stuff like that. If we were talking about
right.
a different situation, we are talking, as Fred said, we are talking about people, in this case, in Fred's case, a senior adult, just a couple of years older than me, standing outside an abortion mill, and praying.
Yeah.
Arrested for praying, not for blocking entrance, not for attacking doctors, but for praying to Almighty God.
Yeah, nonviolent.
Nonviolent.
That's not right. Nonviolent. And so, if she's on a private property and she refuses to move, then you arrest her for you can arrest her for trespassing.
Right.
Okay. Now I don't. I'm just saying that would be the local sheriff can come out and arrest her for trespassing.
Yep.
okay? But not the federal government come in with their U.S. Attorney's Office for something like praying in front of an abortion mill and giving them 2 years in prison?
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about, selective prosecutions. This is what upset a lot of people about what happened with the January 6th people. It wasn't that it was the punishment didn't fit the crime. Okay? That's what Americans find unjust. Mm-hmm. And so did anybody I know approve of going into the Capitol on January 6th? No. And you're reading these January 6th folks as they're released saying, I regret my actions on that day. But they didn't do anything violent. They didn't destroy any property. They didn't attack any officers. They didn't hurt anybody. That may have gone inside the Capitol. Well, when you start slapping those folks with 5 years in prison and crazy stuff like that, then it becomes clear that this is punitive. This is political persecution. And that's what upset a lot of people.
Yeah, some got 18 years. Some got 22-year
right.
prison sentences.
Right.
You know, what I want...
And they hunted these folks down, too.
Yes. What I wonder, too, Black Lives Matter protests, remember back a few years ago? Burning down police stations.
Right.
Attacking police officers.
And you know what happened there?
Yeah, they won.
Well, Vice President Harris, she gave money for their bail.
Yes.
Yeah.
She donated money to get them out.
Right. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think was in part a reaction during this election cycle.
Yes.
I hope Senator Hawley stands by the stuff, and I think he will.
Yeah.
I hope he keeps raising this issue. And I predict, I don't know, things are happening so fast, you don't know when to predict something's going to happen, but I predict President Trump is going to pardon those who were unjustly charged. Exactly the example, Fred, that you gave. I think he's going to issue pardon commutation or something.
I agree.
It's the right and just thing to do.
Tomorrow would be a timely day to do it because tomorrow happens to be the same day as the National March for Life in Washington, D.C., of which AFN will have radio and print coverage. I am interested to see, and nobody's told me, I'm just wondering, he spoke there in 2017.
You're right. It would be a great day to do that.
Maybe that's why he hasn't done it yet. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Chris and Ray. President Donald Trump is speaking today, in fact, now live to the World Economic Forum. And I don't know everything that he's saying. But he's a pretty mellow, shy fella. And so I'm sure it's just some, platitudes and no.
Oh, he's been talking to them about tariffs. You want to do business in our country? You build your plants in our country.
They used to call him Milquetoast Don back in the day.
Yeah, right. Anyway, with respect to China, he's saying we just want a level playing field with China. We just want fairness. Anyway, we'll see. We'll be able to tell when he's finished. We'll have all the clips for you. He's no fan of the Green New Deal.
Oh, no.
Either.
Nope.
And so we'll see what happens here. What's your next story?
Well, news of his various executive orders has made it to Canada. And one of those executive orders, we discussed this on the show earlier this week, and we talked a little bit about gender a minute ago with Robert Gagnon. But earlier this week, President Trump made it known that officially the U.S. policy under his administration is that we are only going to have two genders, male and female, as if that needed to be said. But in this day and age, he did do an executive order saying as much. And that was a question for the Canadian conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre. This was a guy who has had some interesting exchanges with Canadian journalists. And here's one example of Mr. Poilievre being asked about this.
Mr. Who?
Pierre Poilievre.
He's the leader. He's probably going to be the next prime minister of Canada.
We.
Oh, he will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here is this soundbite's pretty long, but it's going to begin with the anchor asking Mr. Poilievre for his opinion on something. Clip 7.
First day on the job, President Trump signed an executive order, the U.S. government only recognizing two genders, male, female. They're unchangeable. If elected as prime minister, is that something that you're going to kind of walk in line with, or what are your feelings on that executive order?
Well, I don't know. Do you have any other genders that mm-hmm. you'd like to name?
Me personally? I'm just asking more so if you're in line with what he is saying. Do you agree with what he's saying? Is that something that you would be lockstep with if elected as prime minister?
Well, I'm not aware of any other genders than men and women. I mean, if you have any other that you want me to consider, you're welcome to tell me right now.
Well, there's personally, I am a man. I am a, as okay. people who say, cis man. There are people there who, you know, they say they're
me too.
Gender
I am a
neutral.
Man. Well,
you are a man. Well, yes. There are people there who say they're gender neutral. Yeah. They say they're gender neutral. They're a trans person. Is that something that you would recognize here? Whereas in the States, at least with their U.S. government, the way they're seeing it, there's only two.
I'm only aware of two, but I mean, if you come up with another list, then you're welcome to do that. But I'm aware of two, and as far as I'm concerned, we should have a government that just minds its own business and leaves people alone.
I think I'm going to illegally immigrate to Canada just to vote for him.
Oh, man.
I think I'm going to invade their southern border if I can go vote for this fella. What a great answer. What's his name again?
Pierre Poilievre.
So he's kind of the Donald Trump of Canada now, isn't he?
Yes.
You really think he will be the new prime minister?
Yeah, well, Justin Trudeau.
Right. He's out.
He resigned back a few weeks ago. The Capitol Liberal Party, of which Justin Trudeau is head of, is having their leadership convention on March the 9th. And then right after that, the other three or four political parties in Canada said, as soon as Parliament gets back, they're going to put a non-confidence vote in whoever wins the leadership Liberal Party. That will automatically initiate an election campaign. And Pierre Poilievre, on all the polls right now, is the guy who's going to be the next prime minister of Canada.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
That would be a breath of fresh air for your home country. Mm-hmm.
That is for sure. You know, it's amazing how what's going on in Canada right now mirrors what's been going on in this country over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Canadians are fed up with the left.
Right.
They are absolutely fed up with the left. They want to change.
Ray, what I liked about his answer was he kept asking the reporter,
That's right.
Give me some other genders here. Give me a list. You're saying, well, I'll accept other genders. Tell me what they are, and I'll talk about it.
He has that, frankly, also a beautiful, deep voice. I only know of two. And he said, I only know of two. It repeated it three or four times just to make it clear there are two.
And the reporter couldn't give him any more.
No.
The reporter
What about the trans?
Right.
There are only two.
Two.
Even if you're a, quote, a trans, you're still one or the other.
That's right.
Huh? That's right.
You're still one or the other.
Your feelings.
There's a reason you're, quote, transitioning.
That's right. Your feelings don't determine what sex you are.
Right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Well, I want to bring people's attention quickly to the Supreme Court, and that's because the justices have decided to take up the case. It's kind of an interfaith coalition of parents in Maryland. There are Christian, Jewish, and Muslim parents in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is very liberal. These parents want the religious right to have their kids opt out of LGBTQ book readings. This school system has decided to include these LGBTQ book readings as part of, like, English lessons. And these parents, all of which are religious, say, hey, this is against our religious beliefs. We want to opt our kids out. The school won't let them. Now, they have lost at the federal and the appeals court level, but the Supreme Court has said we will take the case, which is huge news and leads people to believe that the justices will side with these parents. And that will have huge ramifications on the rest of the country. It's not just me saying this. Here is their attorney, William Hahn of Beckett, talking about this very issue and why everybody should pay attention to this case. Clip 6.
Because this case is the canary in the coal mine about whether or not people who want to deny parents the authority to direct their children's religious upbringing can use the public schools to do that. Like I said, there's a nationwide consensus that allows opt-outs for parents when it comes to sex ed for their kids. And Montgomery County has skirted that simply by calling this language arts instruction. If the principle that gets adopted in this case is that all public schools have to do to get around the authority of parents is to take sex ed and put it in English class, that is a national problem, and we will see jurisdictions do this over and over again. Montgomery County has one of the largest school districts in the country. It's the most religiously diverse county in the United States of America. If in, even in those situations, they're going to strip accommodations and not respect the First Amendment, you can only guess what's going to happen in other places.
Well, we'll be interested to see what happens there. Good for those parents in Montgomery. That's a suburb of Washington, D.C., I think.
Yeah, a lot of people that work in federal government, if they don't live in Loudoun County or Fairfax County, Virginia, this is the county they live at while they work for the federal government.
Yeah. All right. By the way, big deportation news yesterday, right? Is you going to cover that or Steve going to cover that?
Oh, we can. Yeah, we can. Either one of us can do it. But yes, the mass deportation plan from the new Trump administration is underway. It's getting underway, I should say.
Well, they're arresting violent gangbangers, according to Fox News.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I was watching a video just before I came in the studio, and the video was the cops. They stopped these three guys in a car, and they are suspects in a robbery at one of the sports.
The migrants were arrested for burglarizing the home of Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow.
Yes. This is kind of funny. These three guys in the car tell the cops, well, we're heading for Florida. And the cops say, well, you're going the wrong direction. You're heading north. And so they apparently found them with some of the goods from this robbery.
Well, they the guys who so these are the burglars.
Yes. Mm.
The quarterback there in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, the Bengals.
Yeah.
He went, Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. He was playing a game in Kansas City, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes.
And the robbers knew that he was out of town, so they went and broke into his home.
Several professional athletes have had their homes burglarized. We could find out whether or not this is part of a larger ring, but yeah, or sting.
So these guys were illegals?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? I, the deportation part of it, I understand why you want to do it, but there's a side of me that says these guys committed crimes on U.S. soil. They need to serve time in the U.S. I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure of the legality of that, but yeah. I'll tell you this. I think Mr. Trump is starting in exactly the right place because I've seen the propaganda from the other side of breaking up families and so on. As far as I can tell, Mr. Trump and the ICE folks are prioritizing the criminals,
right.
the rapists, the murderers,
right.
The thieves. That's who they ought to go. The people in the drug cartels, the drug gangs and all that, go after those people. Throw them out. Send them back where they came from.
This report says ICE has made more than 460 arrests of illegal immigrants, including those with criminal histories.
Yep.
That include sexual assault, domestic violence and drugs and weapons crimes.
Yeah. 3 days into the administration.
Right.
Yes.
Good. Good right. for them.
Next story, Chris.
Well, let's do this real quick because it's a short soundbite. But Trump says in regards to going after illegal migrants, people that broke the law coming here, we're not going to tolerate this in the country. It's about 20 seconds. Clip two.
This is not just South America. This isn't, we talk Venezuela. That's a big abuser. But these are countries from
Iran,
Syria, Congo. Countries that you don't even think of, the Congo has emptied their prisons out into the United States. We're not thinking about the Congo. We're thinking about South America. It's much more than South America.
That was, again, from his appearance last night on Hannity. By the way, do visit our Today's Issues Facebook page because that was about a 45-minute interview with Sean Hannity last night, and I have posted a link to that thing. In the event you didn't watch it, you can see it on demand by clicking on it through our Facebook
page. Well, let's see. Now, did Trump... I'll tell you something that's a burr under his saddle right now. And, he gets a burr under his Manhattan saddle.
Mm-hmm.
He'll talk about it every day, all day. And Biden doing the pardons
mm-hmm.
for all his kinfolks,
mm-hmm.
Trump didn't like that. Trump said, well, Joe Biden didn't pardon himself.
That's right.
What'd that mean?
Yeah.
Huh? I think he's just.
Yeah, he's not going to go.
But he is making a point of.
Yes.
Of Biden doing that. What Biden? So that was he did that the last 15 minutes of his presidency, didn't he, Fred?
Yeah. Remember, President-elect Trump at the time and Melania went over for tea at the White House.
Yeah.
The little picture, the little tradition thing.
Tea.
Yeah, they had tea.
Yeah.
Apparently. And so then Trump and Melania head for the Capitol for the inauguration. It was after they left the White House, apparently, that Joe Biden signed off on this. So while Trump was giving his speech, that's when it was activated.
So it wasn't like five or six members of his family.
Yeah, his two brothers.
Got
and his sister.
Yeah.
Got pardons.
Preemptive.
They're not even
preemptive.
Haven't been charged with any crimes.
That's right.
Preemptive pardons. All right. I'm just going to say what we all they made a killing.
Yes.
Huh?
Oh, of course.
Off of him. The big guy.
Yeah. Hunter Biden, no doubt, made boatload of money.
Mm-hmm.
Influence peddling.
Yeah, that's documented.
And James Comer, the representative, was closing in.
Yes.
On some of the money that the Biden family made.
Yes.